Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis. And I'm joined by... Is that who I think it is? Oh my God, it is! It's Luke Owen!
Hi, and hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I was recreating last night for you.
Thank you very much. There was a moment when I went to the toilets at the Royal Albert Hall, and I just got a, are you Luke Owen? And I was like, yes, I am. But although my favourites of the people that came to... ask for photos with us. It was great actually meeting quite a lot of the people, a lot of the Swaff Nation out there at the Royal Albert Hall for the UK show. But it was as you and I were leaving, and a girl came up to us and was like, are you both on YouTube? And you went, yes we are.
And so you weren't around for the earlier bit of this?
Oh no.
Okay, so thank you so much to everyone who came up to us at the UK shows. It was actually... I would say of all the times, the most heartwarming. Not to belittle any other previous shows where people have come up to us, but a few people were like, especially one chap, he shook my hand so sincerely, I nearly cried.
Oh, bless.
It was very nice to meet all the fans.
It was really cool. And every single person was awesome.
And so this was when I went to get some pints in for the lads. And
such lads.
And I said, Hey, everyone who's just recognised me at this bar, come over to our seats, get a picture with Luke. Luke much prefers this stuff to me. And we all came over. And so then I think that made a few other people come over who were maybe, oh, I'm going to be polite, I won't interrupt them in enjoying some quite terrific wrestling. So a few people did come over and get their pictures taken. And one guy, as he walked off, sort of walked past... these three girls who were sat in the row behind us. And the three... I could hear every word. The three girls asked, Who are those people? Why is everyone taking pictures with them? Are they famous? Are they wrestlers? And the guy goes very enthusiastically, No, they're Ollie and Luke from WrestleTalk. It's a YouTube channel. And, very kind in putting us over. And then he walked off. And then I just turned round and I went, we're not that big. to them. And... And that was why later on, you pick it up here.
So she asked, are you on YouTube? And we said, yes. Well, you said, yes, we are. And she was like, can I get a picture with you? And I really like it because I think it's really cool. I'm the sort of guy, I kind of subscribe to the Rob Zombie theory of taking photos with fans. Rob Zombie was a guy who was a fan himself growing up of like metal music and horror movies and stuff. And his philosophy, I was on a documentary, I think it was, what documentary was it? Anyway, it was a documentary about slasher films. And he said that when it comes to fans, like, it's 5 seconds out of my day, like, and I might not remember it the following day, but they'll always remember it. And I thought that's really nice. Like, that's a really nice sort of way, like, a nice phrasing to put it. So I thought that was really cool. So I was like, yeah, totally, let's take a picture. And then she just quite flat said to us, I don't know who either of you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you paused and were like, huh. And then she just asked, can I still have a photo? I was like, cool, sure, whatever.
And I said no.
You did. I was like, are you doing this for the grams?
So I'm not just going to do it for your grams.
Well, she wasn't on the grams, as she told me. She's like, no, I'm not on the grams, but my friend is doing it for the grams.
So you'll be happy to know, everyone, we made them prove to us that they've subscribed to the WrestleTalk YouTube channel, and then they were allowed a photo.
And you just had a very dour face in the photo, which made me laugh a lot.
I asked them, I was like, what face would you want me to do? I can do disappointed really well. they said disappointed's fine.
Mm.
But I mean, looking back at that face, I thought it looked like I was on the verge of tears.
Well, I mean,
so I just need to get a better register.
Yeah, I mean, I have one face. It's like people have been sending me the images, the photos that we had taken at the shows, and I do have the same face in all of them. I'm just pretty sure that if you were really good at Photoshop, you could just Photoshop me out of one image, put me next to you, and be like, "Yeah, cool, I met you," and I'd be like, "Sweet, retweet."
But that's good because you can. If someone comes over to you and says, "Can I get a photo?" You're like, "Sure, here's my photo face," and then you do your photo. I haven't got that, so I always have the same conversation of, I don't know what to do.
Someone sent a message because I posted up the lad that came up to us in our seats, the one that you brought over, and almost like your own No Way Jose sex conga line,
yeah.
Sort of bringing them over to our seats. He posted up the photos that he had taken. Someone replied to it saying, like, Luke looks like he's more excited to be in that photo than the guy is. And I'm like, I know, because I'm like this. Hey, yeah. This is great.
You're a happy chappy.
Happy chap, mate.
Yeah. So that's... I much prefer the people who come up to us and take the photos rather than the tweets we get the next day. I saw you.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was
I
that.
I was watching you.
There was that girl that was like, myself and my man partner were sat across from you and yeah. We were staring at you a lot.
Yeah, which is like, that's weird. I mean, I was going to say that's great. It makes me feel slightly awkward.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Grev, a friend of mine, spotted where we were because we were standing up. I can't remember, it was after which match it was, but we got very into the finish.
Oh, yeah, we got very into... Oh, no, it was very good. It was a very good
show. Such a good show. And you and I got... we had 4 pints of speckled hen.
I think I was at 3.
Hmm.
Hmm. Where did your extra one come from?
I don't know. I could have sworn we had 3. Well, I thought we might have had 4. Maybe we only did have 3.
Hmm.
Either way, it was delicious.
Maybe it was 4.
However, it also was £6 for... And you can't say a pint, because it's not a pint. It's £6 a cup of
I thought those were pint cups, though.
That's not quite a pint, though, is it? Like, I wouldn't say that is... I would never call that a pint. It's a cup.
But it's... I mean, are you referring to a unit of measurement?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if that is, like, officially a pint. It might be, like, just below a pint... But I don't think it's... and by the time you and I had managed to transport it back to our seats, we had spilt quite a bit of it because...
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a pint when we got back.
No, because the ushers kept leaving the doors closed. And then like, it's hard to open up a door when you're holding 2 plastic cups of speckled hen.
I didn't tell you this. I was coming back with the pints, probably the 4th, which explains a lot. And it wasn't the doors that were closed. It's the curtains.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Go on.
Because the Royal Albert Hall is beautiful. And it's a kind of retro vaudeville place where... Well, not vaudeville because it's very posh. But an old-timey place where they have curtains that cover the doors to stop any light spilling in during the performance. And that they're very heavy curtains. Probably for soundproofing reasons as well. And these were 2 very full pints. So I try to use my head to find the gap in the curtains to push myself through. It's not working. So I'm like, okay. I just start kicking.
Mm.
Like kicking through the curtains. And I hear a, and I walk through. I've kicked a guy. And it, of course, we were near the sort of wheelchair access area.
Yes.
So I kicked a person in a wheelchair.
Oh, Oliver Davies.
I know.
Oh.
How's that for a scandal?
That is...
YouTube personality kicks wheelchair-bound man. Drunk.
No, I got caught by the big curtains when... So we thought the show had finished.
Yes.
Because like the Undisputed Era took on British Strong Style. Terrific match. And we were like, oh... And I think it's because you had just said, you was like, well, I assume the finals are tomorrow.
No, you said the finals
you
are
said
tomorrow.
It, I thought it was on the same show.
Oh, and then Luke.
You said, that goes, well, I guess it's on tomorrow night. And I was like, well, maybe it is.
Maybe we got the word final with UK championship
match.
Shot
yes, because I knew the match was like on tonight. Mm. But I think you thought the finals of it were on tonight. Anyway, regardless. So they had that 6-man tag, and we thought the show was ended. So I went and got my bag from the cloakroom, which I was forced to put my bag into because I had a laptop and an iPad. It nearly charged me £2 for it, but I didn't have any money on me, so they just said it was fine. And I got my bag, and I walked back. All of a sudden, I'm hearing Shawn Michaels' entrance music.
Sexy boy.
So I bound back in, not through the door we were in. It was the door over. And then Shawn Michaels is cutting a promo, and then all of a sudden it was just like, oh, now the next match is about to start. Mm-hmm. It was the finals between blank and blank. I won't give away the spoilers here in case anyone, thank you very much. And so I was like, oh, I need to get back. I couldn't find the split in the curtains. I was just patting around, could not find it, and Usher had to come up and be like, it's just here.
You probably molested someone. Well, patting all those curtains.
I mean, I was on the inside trying to get to the outside, so I don't think there was anyone.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there wasn't anyone on the other side for me to like.
I went the bad way.
You went the bad way. Mm. Right, do you want to. So we've got a lot of correspondence. Rather, I got a lot of correspondence.
Well,
let's
just do one because we're already 9 minutes in. We've got a raw review to get to. We'll save the rest for the outro.
Okay, that's quite a long bit of correspondence. There's one from Dan, always the bridesmaid. And this is actually.
We can cut his email quite easily.
And, well, you might like this. It's an actual agony aunt request.
From Dan?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah? Do you want me to do this one?
I'm less enthused. Okay, let's go for Dan.
Okay, so... Okay. Hello, Luke. It's me for the second time today. I'm not sure what his first email was, actually. It's not in my email inbox.
Maybe it was in a special Discord chat with WrestleTalk SWAF Nation members.
It is, yes.
I don't know how to send you there, viewers. Someone else has set this up. It's a lovely little instant messenger thing where WrestleTalk viewers and fans can hang out and chat wrestling. And occasionally, me and Luke grace you with our presence.
Oh, no, he emailed me about Jurassic World.
Okay.
Dan loves Jurassic World.
Jurassic Park 5?
Jurassic Park 5, yes. Right. Which also works as a sequel to Jurassic Park.
How do they do it?
I don't know how they do it. Hello, Luke. It's me for the second time today. Sorry for stealing your time. That's all right, Dan. I've been thinking about sharing this, but I give it a... He is German. It's not his first language, to be fair. I'm aware of this not being an actual live advice, but an opinion by some experienced guys would be nice. Hmm. My friends are either not into women or inappropriate when it comes to that topic. I just think it's worth a shot. So he's looking for some actual agony arts.
Here we go. Masters of the agony arts.
So, it's about a woman.
Ooh.
I am a 24-year-old single, and I have been so for 24 years. I do get along with women. I tend to get along with them better than I do with men. I also work in a job dominated by females. He does work at a strip club. Mm. That's what I'm guessing. And there is that girl. Slightly younger than me, a career woman. She works and studies at the same time. During lunch breaks, we talk sometimes, but most times she talks to another peer sitting next to me or in front of me. Last year, she said it was all about her career and getting to that point of extreme wealth. I also want to get somewhere, but I am not gunning for extreme wealth. I just want to be able to afford a family someday. Don't we all, Dan? It's not easy, mate. This is when I decided she was not for me. But that is changing all the time. She is beautiful, but also very smart, which attracts me even more. She knows all about politics, shares my views on a lot of things, and is very nice in general. But sometimes she sounds patronizing. But I don't think she does mean it. Or does she? So I wouldn't call it love. I don't know what that feels like. But interest in the person. She even checks two out of my three principles. She does not smoke and claims to be loyal. And she's into dogs. And I can't imagine ever living with dogs. I mean, I think you might mean without dogs. Because if she's into dogs, you'd want to...
Yeah, you'd want that.
Because I can't imagine ever living with dogs. And then just like, she loves them.
Yeah.
That's a clash, mate. Unless
it's the other one that she doesn't smoke.
Yeah, maybe it's like smoke and claims to be loyal are two of the principles.
Right.
But
yes.
The third one is next thing.
Yeah,
yeah, is ever living with dogs. Cool. Right. What triggered me today is that she said she is a free spirit and always does what she wants. She has said she also overthinks everything and says she does not want a relationship where you always sit together. All of these things are fine with me. It fits me totally. I need my space to enjoy my stuff. If I had a girlfriend, I'd give my girlfriend the same space, of course. So, you, Luke, achieved the ultimate goal in marrying a woman of your dreams. And, Ollie, you are very close to that, too. Are you? Do you reckon so?
Well, you know, I don't really care about getting married. But I'm with Anna for the rest of my life, so...
Well, there you go. Because Nia Jax isn't returning any calls anymore. No.
Yet.
And neither is Dana Brooke.
So far.
The question is she the one or am I just wasting time? The obvious answer, you never find out if you do not ask her. The problem, the weird guy from work, which is me, gets even stranger after that. Let's face it, I'm an awkward nerd. I do not want to make things weird at work. Everyone is going to know. She's the only peer from work I'm actually friends with on Facebook, but I don't think writing her is the answer. She congratulated me on my birthday in a personal message, but am I seeing too much into this? When I talk to my friends about women in general, they tell me to get muscular and go to the club, evacuate the dance floor and stuff. They tell me women want to be saved, protected and treated like a queen. But I have to say, I don't buy into that. I can't read women's signals. I don't know what I am doing. Worst case, I am smelling and she is afraid of me. Just imagine that. What am I doing? Maybe share your thoughts on this, but if you don't feel right about it, it's 100% great that you don't do it. Best wishes, Dan.
Lot to unpack there.
Lot to unpack. Do you want to... I'll leave the floor to you.
Okay, well, in my long and deep experience with the opposite sex, I want to call him Working Dan. Yeah. Like a working man. Working Dan.
That's... He's a Dan. Such a Dan.
Such a Dan.
He's a real Dan's Dan.
I let's change it. So from mayor, you have the honour, Dan, of having the most nicknames. You're mayor of Painesville. You're referred to as mayor or Painesville round here. We don't say the whole name all the time, but also the bridesmaids,
and now a real Dan's Dan,
now a real Dan Dan. Anyway, okay. So my experience, everyone has a crush on a girl at work.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's a pretty widespread experience, not just for men, but for ladies as well. Because you're just around people all the time. Those are the people you spend most of your adult life with. That makes sense. Most people meet their partners either at university, this is lifelong partners, at university or at work.
Mm.
Not actually out on the internet or in real life, IRL.
Or Tinder.
Mm-hmm. Still, I don't think that's true yet.
Hmm.
It's catching up.
I was going to say, but
it's still work and university.
Interesting.
So, personally, I've had a workplace romance. I know plenty of other people who have had workplace romances. The success rate is remarkably low.
Yeah.
I think that people confuse... You didn't say love... But it's definitely a crush. Hmm. So people confuse that with proximity.
Yes.
Because the way you describe that person, she doesn't sound like a brilliant catch. She's patronizing.
Yeah.
She just talks about how she's a free spirit. Instant annoying trait. And then that she overthinks everything. That sounds like a self-absorbed... She sounds tremendously self-absorbed to me.
And she's only after... Like, ultra wealth.
Like, who? I'm not after ultra wealth. I want to do nice things. And deep down, Dan, I think you're a romantic. I don't think you want... Like you said yourself, you don't want ultimate wealth. You want love and relationships.
Yeah.
And that's what good people... That's what baby faces want. And that's what we are. We're baby faces. So I would say do not approach her in a romantic way. And... But also don't take your friend's advice of going out to the club. That's perfectly suited to some people. Doesn't sound like that's your cup of tea. So, yeah, use internet dating.
Yeah.
Use meetup spaces where you can go to pubs and make friends with like people with shared interests.
I completely agree with you. As one myself, the club is not a place for an awkward nerd. It's just, we just don't fit in.
I'm an awkward nerd. I love the club.
But you're not an awkward nerd, though.
Not when I'm drunk.
No, because I think you're quite cool. Like, you have a certain cool factor about you, so you could go to a club. You also have impeccable dress sense when it comes to, like, you know, looking smart and looking suave and things like that. So I don't think I certainly wouldn't classify you as an awkward nerd. Just because you like wrestling doesn't make you a nerd. Makes you a loser. It doesn't make you an awkward nerd.
Well, thank you very much.
I am with my learned friend here, Dan's Dan, in that this does certainly sound like a crush, And it certainly sounds like a crush because she is showing some sort of interest in you. Not in a romantic sense, but just in a, hey, you seem like a fun person to talk to. We like politics. We talk about politics and two of your other principles, you know. And that, you might just be confusing that with like, maybe we should spend more time together. But you're kind of like, she has got a lot of other annoying traits by the sound of things. Patronizing being one of them.
That's another big thing when you... Men do confuse, and women, people do confuse conversations, friendly, amicable conversations with, she's leading me on. when actually, no, it's just objectively just a normal thing that people do. People chat.
Yeah, people do like to chat.
I've been there myself. I've gone in those little holes. So
I have been a victim of workplace romances as well, two of them, in fact. And was it just two? Maybe. I think two that I can think of.
Well, me and you.
Well, apart from this one, three then. And this is the only one that's worked out. The other two were absolute...
life partners.
Disasters, I would say. Just makes things mad awkward. Because especially if it doesn't really work out, then it just makes things a bit awkward. But yeah, I think dating apps... certainly the way forward. It's 2018, man. You know, you need to get with the times. You don't need to go to the club. You can find online clubs where you can meet people. Particularly then you'll find people that are more in the awkward nerd range. Like meetup spaces, I think, is a really good one. Like a friend of mine was like, she was saying that she didn't know how to meet people, and I was like, hey man, you're into board games, like just like find a board game meetup spot and like go and play board games.
Yeah.
Like how, like it's simple like that. Like that seems like a great idea.
Totally. Well, hopefully, I mean, we've gone 20 minutes on this intro.
No, have we?
Yeah,
oh,
so
man.
We'll get on with the show. We'll have a very brief outro.
Every podcast is someone's first podcast. Mm. And if this is your first podcast, it's not always like this.
We usually try and keep it to 10. So let's get on with the show. Well, today we're kicking off with the news that Seth Rollins is no longer the Intercontinental Champion. Dolph Ziggler is. I kind of forgot people were allowed to go into other divisions because Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, Dolph McIntyre, that would be the complete human being, they've been in the tag division for most of this, not really doing much at all, and being eliminated first from Battle Royals. But hey, what a way to reboot them by having
Dolph
come out. There's too many D words.
That's what she said.
Dolph come out and answer Seth Rollins' open challenge. They had a pretty corking little match, which Dolph won.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about this?
Shocked. Genuinely surprised.
Yes.
There's a lot of people on that roster that I would have said, oh, they might beat Seth Rollins for the IC belt there. Dolph Ziggler was not one of them. And that's not a slight against Dolph. It's just that that's the position he'd been slotted into. It very much, as you said, he's been in this tag team mold since WrestleMania, or since the Superstar Shakeup at the very least. And that's where these two were going to be going for tag team gold rather than white belts.
Like people that I would have picked, not personally, because one of the great things about this is that I don't feel like Dolph Ziggler is an undeserving champion. I'm actually really excited to see what he can do with this. It's just, it's so unexpected because how Raw just slots people in their certain little areas and there's very little cross-pollination. Chad Gable, I would have... Mojo Rawley, I would have chosen over Dolph Ziggler for what could happen. Bayley! Bayley, in my mind, had more of a chance of beating Seth Rollins for the IC belt Ziggler.
I wouldn't have gone that far, but I was very surprised. I was kind of glad it wasn't Drew.
Now's not the time.
Now's not the time, though. Like, you know, but, you know, and certainly I don't want to poo-poo this either. I would have probably preferred it to be Drew, but that's by the by. But this really felt, particularly by the end of this as well, that we are setting up for a Dean Ambrose return. And so we can still stick with the tag team dynamic, but you're doing Mac and Dolph versus Not the Shield. And, you know, the super best friends, and they can collide in tag team action. And that'll be like, that's how you kind of further this feud and continue it on. But what I will say, and again, I don't want to be the negative Nancy in the room, it did feel like it was too soon to take the belt off Seth.
There's mileage there, but I think sometimes unpredictability works.
It really does.
And I don't know what makes something feel annoying, unpredictable. And what makes it okay? For me, this was a good kind of unpredictable. Like, not everyone has to have these long championship reigns. Seth has been doing really good with the belt. What? So he won at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So about 2 months, 2 pay-per-view cycle loops. And, yeah, he was having some of the best matches on Raw. But if you're now building towards a 5-way Extreme Rules match to crown the number one contender for Brock Lesnar, maybe you want Seth in there. That's where I saw him going
well,
after this.
That's what I thought as well, but I did also think that perhaps this is where you bring back Dean and you do the and you do a tag team thing with him instead.
I think he's still quite a way off. I always thought he was back in September.
But he's at the Performance Center training, is he not?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's imminent. That usually means it's like 2 months out still.
Do you know who might be imminent, though? Oh, Jason Jordan.
Sitting at the back.
Exactly.
Just waiting to do something.
So you do Jordan instead of Dean.
And just, I guess, pick up that storyline. It just feels like that's a bit past it now.
Oh, totally. Well, I completely agree with you. It's just that it was. Yeah. It's because they did the double team beatdown on him afterwards. Like, if it was just Dolph had walked away with Drew and the belt, and they were like, "Well, hey, we're now the Intercontinental Champion," then I would have just been like, "Cool, I think Seth is moving up into this Extreme Rules match." It was, but the beatdown angle afterwards made me think that they were doing something different. They're going in a tag team direction.
That's what's quite good about this, in that it's unpredictable. It's a fun shock. I don't feel cheated by it, and it definitely makes Dolph Ziggler more relevant again. And like you said, there's all these different directions they could go in. There's also the nice little promo that Drew and Dolph cut afterwards backstage, where they said, "This is just the first of many.
Yeah.
We're going to go and take loads of belts." And I thought, that would be a fun gimmick, wouldn't it?
Be the belt collectors.
Yeah, be the belt collectors. So you could have this belt, you could have the tag belts, which, and that would be really good for them. Like, just look at the tag division right now on Raw. It's nothing. Drew going for the Universal title. Maybe Drew can get in that 5-way.
I was
going
to say, Drew's in that 5-way. I am all for that, mate.
Seth and Drew and...
the other two, Lashley and Roman.
Lashley and Roman. Bit of Finn in there, probably.
Well, it could be Finn, could be Elias. Elias, like, you know, he essentially put his name into the ring or into the hat later on in his song.
It's usually Bobby Roode, though.
Or it could be Brawny the Strowman. It could be...
The briefcase.
Doesn't matter. He's a monster, man. He does whatever he wants. Could be Baza Corbs.
Yes.
Baza Corbs got the win later on tonight. He, in his position of authority, could slot himself into that match. Slacks and all.
I mean, if they were to get... They won't do this, but, you know, them turning up on NXT.
Yeah.
But everyone's got good belt positions at the moment. I guess he could have the North American.
Yeah, but like Adam Cole.
It's difficult, but there's a lot of potential here. And the match itself was, you know, I would put it in like the top third of all of Seth's IC matches, but like at the bottom of that top third.
Yeah, I think it was, to give it the best review possible, it was the best match on this show.
I actually really enjoyed the main event.
Oh yeah?
I actually enjoyed both I enjoyed the Revival tag match as well. I thought that was real fun.
Mm. I did enjoy the Revival tag match. I was a bit bored of Raw by the time the main event rolled around.
I got the
3-hour lull.
Yes.
But I thought this was the best match on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. You're right. But some really good spots. There was a great near fall off the Fame Asa. That's my Britishness coming through. Mm-hmm. Some This Is Awesome chants. The story they told was that Seth is this fighting champion, but it's almost to his detriment because he defended against Elias the previous night and he's not 100%. He's got that knee injury that he was selling, and that was kind of his downfall. We missed a frog splash. There was a bit of interaction with Drew on the outside.
Yeah, so Drew got up onto the apron and Seth went to attack him, and then that led to sort of this sort of roll-up finish. Which actually I thought was quite nice because it played off the finish of Money in the Bank in the sort of like Seth tried to hook the tights again and Dolph rolled that through and hooked the tights himself and got the win.
Was that quite nice? This is my little bugbear.
I've got a caveat to that was quite nice. It was quite nice if it had been a longer term thing. Mm. Like if Seth had done it multiple times and then it got turned around on him. Then again, that feels like a real heel thing. Like, it doesn't
exactly
feel like a babyface thing.
And the way the commentators played up that it was Drew Drew cost Seth this match.
What Michael Cole did. I don't think Coachman was. Coachman was just like, no, Drew didn't. He was like, Drew didn't touch him. Drew didn't get involved.
Yeah. But because Cole did, I was just like, to me, that was Dolph hooking the tights. There's a few problematic things there because, like you said, it wasn't just Dolph hooking the tights. And there's that, okay, that plays into the previous night and now we can move past it. Seth did go for the tights again.
He did.
In his roll-up. And just why would he be doing that? He's a babyface. And he's not... His character isn't a tweener. His character is a... I've gone through the dark side and now I'm this redeeming angel of vengeance, really.
Elias pointed out in his song that he had to cheat to beat Elias. Mm.
So that wasn't... It was untidy from a character and story perspective.
But the problem is, Ollie, there what we often do with this company is we look for logic, we look for character, we look for story. As some people told us in the comment section yesterday, just enjoy the show. Just watch the show and just don't overthink things. Mm. Just everything needs to be a 2 out of 5 and that's fine.
We want all of this to be the best it possibly can be. I mean, if you really wanted us to go full on critique mode, this would be an unwatchable show. Because if we gave the same level of scrutiny to this as we do stuff New Japan, like we said, like we love New Japan, and when we review those, we say, like, look, we really enjoyed this show. But it's our jobs to be critics and say, like, oh, but this bit didn't quite work, this bit didn't, but overall we loved it. But like, we have to dumb ourselves down so much and we're still critiquing Raw quite heavily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought it was a nice shocking moment to kind of like cap off Raw. And I was like, it was two like back-to-back segments, really, because the opening of the show, which we'll get into a section, was like really, really great. And then you had this, and I was kind of, that kind of fired me up for Raw a little bit. I was like, oh man, this will be great. And then whatever happened on the rest of the show happened. But I thought this was a really nice start to the show. I'm not the biggest Dolph fan. As I've said on the show before, I'm well past caring about Dolph. But maybe this new angle they're doing with Drew and the Mac and Dolph thing, maybe they do this belt collector thing. You kind of got me more intrigued now with saying that they get the tag belts and Drew goes after the Universal Championship. That I'm really keen on because I think that Drew is awesome and he's got so much potential. But yeah, it's fine. Mm. It's pretty good.
I think we're going to have some disagreements because I quite like this show.
Oh, I didn't hate this show.
Okay.
I just, there's a lot of stuff on here that I was like, well, that was there.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
SmackDown Live's tonight. That's how this works. And if you go over to WrestleTalk.com when SmackDown Live is live, there'll be some SmackDown Live reporting.
Live.
It's going to be live. And it's by Andy Datson, who's the man over at WrestleTalk.com. He's one of our writers. And yeah.
All around nice bloke.
Yeah. Great Money in the Bank coverage. Great Raw coverage. And now he's going to be doing SmackDown this evening as well. And on the Twitter. So you can go and follow WrestleTalk _TV because that bit of branding lives on in that Twitter handle.
You know you can change it.
No, I can't.
Why not?
Someone else has got it. Someone
oh, really?
Else has got WrestleTalk.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's annoying.
Mother effers.
But Raw. Raw started off with a video package, which hasn't happened for quite a while.
Is it really? Like, I always feel the Raw usually starts with the video package. Usually, like, here's what happened last week. Because you get the video package saying, like, here's what happened last week. And then Kurt Angle comes out and tells you what happened in the video package again.
Maybe you're right. I just...
Or maybe I'm thinking of SmackDown. Maybe that's just a Shane McMahon thing.
It was a Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey recap of what happened at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought, huh, video package. Usually it opens on the crowd and Michael Cole going,
ugh. Oh, that's very true. But I wonder if that, yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
But this then went to the live crowd on Raw, and Kurt Angle's standing in the ring with a table, and there's the Money in the Bank men's briefcase.
It's the women's briefcase.
Was it the women's briefcase?
Yes, because the men's briefcase is green.
Ah, okay. So why did... It's a bit of a weird... thing, because Alexa already had both of these things.
Well, she didn't have the briefcase anymore because she'd cashed that in.
The what, sorry?
The beefcase, apologise.
And she had the women's title there as well. And Kurt's happy because both the beefcases are on Raw.
Kurt Angle had quite the night tonight in terms of his acting. Mm. I howled with laughter at several occasions.
A good lime flub that I've recorded.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about that in a bit. So Bliss then comes out to be presented her Raw Women's title. Kurt just kind of offhandedly, awkwardly exposition-wise, Nia Jax is having physical rehab. She wants to invoke her rematch clause.
Yes, at Extreme Rules. So we are doing Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax again. And then Bliss came out, the crowd chanted, "You deserve it." She plays babyface and then, uh-oh, swerve. She's still a heel, of
she
course.
She does that so well.
Yes. And I've written here, oh good, we're back to the bully stuff again, because she brought up that Nia Jax is a bully and Ronda Rousey is a bully, and I thought, man, I feel like I'm in a time warp. We've just had this feud, haven't we? But anyway, she cut this promo, but Bliss was great. I think Bliss is a terrific promo and she's a great character. It's why she really fits this kind of championship mold very well. It's why she always really worked when she is the champion. I'm sorry, I put my laptop on mute there. But I just feel like I've already heard all of this sort of stuff before. That was an issue that I did have with it. But however, this segment got great. Terrific indeed. It got awesome when Ronda Rousey came out.
So super mean face.
No smiles today.
Yeah, and she stormed down to the ring. She gets in there. She kind of goes for Bliss right off the bat, but Kurt's holding her back. And Alexa keeps talking.
That was my one issue with it. It was just that, so Ronda storms in. Kangle stops her and she goes, cool, I'll stop then.
Yeah.
And she wasn't trying to go. It's I'm stopped now. It's like an NPC in a video game. It doesn't move until you interact with it.
Well, she was just slightly vibrating on the spot.
Yeah,
with anger, but there was no Kurt Angle physically holding her back.
And Bliss didn't need to cut a second promo.
No.
But Bliss did cut a second promo.
Well, yeah, Bliss needed to be hiding behind Kurt as Ronda's coming down to the ring, over Ronda's entrance music, that great overhyped rookie line, and then Rousey just storms right after. But that's not what happened. Like you said, Ronda just stood there for too long. That's the only flaw of this segment for me.
It was, yeah.
But then she, and I thought, this is how they're going to end it. They're just going to have Ronda stand there.
Oh, they
did
not.
The baby face isn't going to. And before I even finished writing that sentence in my notes, Ronda had pushed Kurt aside and just started wailing on Bliss. Kurt tries to drag her off. And I was like, okay, well, that's the end of that. She beats up Kurt Angle with the judo throw.
The quickest judo throw I've ever seen. It was incredible.
So cool. And I was like, okay, well, she's going to look like, oh, no, what have I done? But no, she grabbed the beefcase and started clobbering Bliss with it. And I thought, wow, that's good. She clobbered Kurt Angle with it. I was like, yes, more of this. And then the referees are running down. I was like, she's going to, yes. And she beats all them up as well. And then there's a table in the ring. That's why it was so wide. And you had the WWE women's title and the Money in the Bank briefcase positioned so far apart because Bliss was going right through the middle. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Ronda's awesome. The crowd was so hyped for this. She's over. And if you don't let her cut promos in front of the live audience, she might be one of the biggest things in WWE for a long, long time.
It was so awesome. Yes. I loved this. It was so great. And all the while, I'm thinking like, oh, WWE, you do know how to do this. You do know. Why didn't you do this with Roman? Like, why? Like from the get-go, why didn't you do this sort of stuff with Roman rather than Suffer and Succotash? Like, this was, instantly just made her my favourite thing on the show. Like, it was just so, it was such a badass performance. She looked legit. She looked like a terrifying badass. It made Alexa Bliss look great as well because she's there going like, ha ha ha, I'm the champion, overhyped rookie. Boom, gets absolutely laid out. She laid out Kurt Angle. She laid out the referees. Big old table spot. The crowd were nuclear for this. I thought every part, apart from her standing there looking like a goofball, this ruled.
Mm.
Ruled. I loved it.
Yeah, and she, like, there are Stone Cold similarities. I'm in no way saying that she's as over as Stone Cold was yet, maybe, you know, hopefully, or that she's the same level of performer. But just in terms of character, this is what the Stone Cold would do. He'd beat up everyone. He wouldn't, like, feign this, oh, we're all friends, really. What have I done? But she's a badass, and that's really what I like. And I think that's why most people watch wrestling. Because they want to see these badass, larger-than-life characters execute badass things that we can't do in real life.
I completely agree with you. And then, like, backstage, Ronda did really well backstage.
Yes.
So she, like, storms away. And, like, Kurt Angle catches up with her. And Ronda had this really great line. Because it's something that's been kind of bugging me as well. And it's nice to see that it's bugging Ronda. Which is like, everyone needs to stop telling me about, like, that this isn't UFC. Like, I know it isn't.
Mm.
Like, I know this is something different. Because, like, that's what Bliss's promo is about. It's what the commentary was all saying last night during Money in the Bank. It's what Nia's been saying, like, in the build-up to their match. This isn't UFC, honey. We do headbutts here and all this sort of stuff. When I was like, oh, mate, I know, and I'm beating you all up at this as well because I'm brilliant and you're not. And then Kurt Angle dropped the bombshell. Get up, drop the bombshell that he is suspending her for 30 days. He's like, I don't know what to do, but I've got to suspend you for 30 days. And Ronda was like, cool, I'll see you in 30 days then.
Kurt also said, you'll never be the world champion. I mean, you'll never be Raw Women's Champion. That was the line that I giggled at. I was like, ah. Oh.
I thought Bobby's flub was better later on.
What did Bobby do?
Bobby Lashley, where he's like, it said to Roman Reigns, like, you can't beat Roman Reigns. You can't beat Brock Lesnar.
Oh, fake Roman Reigns. Fake Roman. Fake, like, character storylines are rubbish, though.
Mm.
So this is interesting because you've got someone with an enormous amount of momentum coming off the great match at Money in the Bank and this great follow-up segment here. I when they said 30 days, you're suspended for 30 days, and Ronda accepted that as, I'll see you in 30 days then, and I'll kick Alexa's ass, which is Extreme Rules, really. That's the next pay-per-view. I thought, okay, so she's off to promote
Mile 22.
Mile 22 doesn't come out until, like, the first week of August. So actually, that's 2 months away in itself. She wouldn't be doing press now. So I'm really, really hoping that Ronda can keep up this momentum and do that cool Stone Cold thing of being suspended, but just turning up in the crowd, running in, and just causing havoc over the next 4 weeks.
Or, I mean, you could do that. I think one of the great things about doing suspension storylines, because they've done this with Cena as well, and it actually used to bug me when they did it with Cena and with Austin, in all fairness, is that you're like, you're suspended, and you're like, oh, I'm suspended, and then the next week they're like, but now I'm here. And you're like, well, okay, you weren't even gone for like 5 days. But I do like the idea, though, of Alexa Bliss doing these matches you know, because Nia's not there either at the moment because Nia's injured. Like, you keep Nia off TV for a little while, sell the injuries from Money in the Bank, and Alexa can have like these showcase matches. But after each of those matches, a Ronda package, like a Ronda video, comes up on the Titantron, which just shows her training, which is like, I'm spending the next 30 days training.
Yeah,
I'm getting ready because I'm going to be back, and like almost like counting down and being like, I'll be back in 20, however many days that's left. It's like clock's ticking. I'll be back in this amount of days.
Yeah, and you run those MMA style, real legit, well shot WWE documentary style.
Yeah.
Vignettes like they did in the build up to the tag match at Mania. That's a terrific idea. I was going to propose something else, but I think yours is much better.
Thank you.
So yeah, Ronda then walked out of the building and Renee Young was there and she said, "What, you know, what are you going
to
do?"
Well, she tried to interview her and she just walked away. And then she said something about UFC again, and I think that's when she stopped back and was just like, oh no, she wished her luck. She was like, well, good luck. And she was like, no, send that luck to Alexa Bliss, because in 30 days I'm coming after her.
Next up, we got Bobby Roode come down, and he's selling his ribs from that super coup de grace that Finn Balor hit on him off a massive ladder in the ring at Money in the Bank. And that was one of the issues, not much selling of the brutal ladder match. Not from the, most annoyingly from the women, I would argue. But it was only Bobby Roode and Kevin Owens here who were showing any sign of
Well, you can't have weakness. Braun do that, can you?
Yeah, but Bayley and Sasha Banks certainly could have.
Bayley wasn't in the match.
Yes, it was such a big match, though. I mean, most of the referees had to go home for medicals because of that Aleister Black kick. the missed one.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
The wind forces.
It's sending everyone flying.
Yeah, even though they were not at that show, it's really, really bad.
Even the ones that were at the UK show last night.
Yeah, yeah, several. Drake, I don't know how he was there. Real trooper.
Well, actually, what he did is he did that kick, and then all of the UK lads jumped into the wind, and it transported them over to the Royal Albert Hall.
Really saves on flights.
Yeah, it really
it?
Is, yeah. Although
Black
you
was there, wasn't he?
He was indeed. I know, I marked out a little bit when I saw him.
So, yes, Bobby Roode came down, and Kurt Hawkins was there, and even with Bobby Roode's injured midsection, he still beat Kurt Hawkins in about a minute.
DDT, Bobby won. I've written that was pointless.
Yeah, because it wasn't enough to do the comedy stuff with Kurt, and it wasn't enough to get Roode in any way over.
No.
So it was just flat.
It was filler. Yeah. It was there because they've got 3 hours to fill, and you can't do video packages.
But like,
because people will change the channel.
You could make good filler. like, for all his faults, that's what Vince Russo did. Vince Russo always made sure that every single person had a storyline. Unfortunately, some of those storylines were absolutely ridiculous. But at least everyone had something. Like, everyone seemed to have a direction. And guys like this, it's just, you have, how can anyone possibly care?
Yeah. It almost feels like Russo, to his credit as well, always made sure that every segment was like, you don't want to change the channel. You absolutely cannot change the channel to Nitro because you've got to stick around to see what's happening on Raw, even if it was just mid-card stuff. And actually, mid-card, like 90s WWF, particularly in the Attitude Era, matches only went like a minute. Like, featuring top guys as well. It'd be like, you know, mid-card guys versus mid-card guys. Matches still only go about a minute. You just had the Godfather, we would just do the pimp drop, and that would be it. And you'd be like, oh, well, that match is over now. Next segment, next segment, next segment. Boom, 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 boom. This felt like it was like, oh, we've got 3 hours. But they don't even, like, pick out guys for matches. They were just like, wrestler A versus wrestler B. They put it up on the board and it was like, who wants to do it? Mm. And so we go, oh, me, I'll have a shot. And they're like, cool, it's you. And then who else? Kurt will go, me, you two then. Off you go. You got a minute.
Next up, we got someone who most definitely is factored into loads of plans, though. And because he was on this show for the whole night. And I read a review on Cage Side Seats of this episode. And they quite interestingly pointed out that this was a heel-heavy show. In that the heels pretty much all won.
Mm.
Dolph won. Baron won. For the tag match later on.
Riot Squad won.
It was
Mojo won.
Yeah, it was a good night for the heels. And Braun Strowman really is the only babyface who's on the... Yeah, Seth lost. Is on the up and kind of can stand up to the authority. Even Kurt Angle, the Raw General Manager, can't stand up to this. And so, you know, Finn Balor's just standing there grinning. And it's Braun who comes in and says, don't you dare say that about my best friend, Finn Balor, who's a tag team match thing. And
spot on impersonation,
yeah, thank
by
you
the
very
way.
Much. Yeah. And it's it's just, yeah, Braun Strowman's the only real babyface with any power at the moment, which is a weird state to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this video package was Braun Strowman, and it recapped the Money in the Bank win, and then JoJo introduces him in just like such a scripted correction of herself as Mr. Money in the excuse me, Monster in the Bank.
Yeah.
So that's going to get old fast.
Cole had a moment like that later on as well. Again, that sort of scripted moment where he's like, he's Mr. Money in the Bank. And Graves was like, Cole? And he's like, sorry, Monster in the Bank.
Yeah. Braun comes down and he cuts a promo saying he's done all these things. He won the greatest Royal Rumble weird green belt thing. Was it green?
It was green. And he had a trophy as well. Because he said, I won this giant trophy. And I was like, did you win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? And then he was like, at the greatest Rumble, I was like, oh, yeah, no, that trophy. Yeah,
we don't talk about that.
Forgot about that trophy. But yeah, he won that trophy. And he's also won tag team championships with a 10-year-old.
But this Money in the Bank briefcase is the crown and achievement of his career so far. He's very happy. He's very happy with it. And he calls out Brock Lesnar. As soon as Brock shows his face, which... it's going to be SummerSlam, I guess. Strowman's going to cash it in, and the Beast is going to get these hands.
Yeah. I just don't feel like Braun cashing in just feels very weird.
You want him to announce in advance.
Yeah, that would have been my preferred method, but you know, the show's not always designed for what I want.
I feel like a Braun Strowman cash-in as a surprise would work brilliantly against a babyface champion, and it's Braun turning heel.
Yeah, maybe.
But then you don't want people to flip-flop too much.
But as you said yesterday as well, quite rightly pointed out, he does have the perfect entrance music for a cash-in.
Braun! Who's that? Kevin Owens then comes out and he's doing a marvellous job selling his injuries from the previous night because, of course, Braun Strowman threw him from that massive ladder through the technical area.
There's laptops there. Did you see his tweet today to Shania Twain?
Oh, because he's a big fan.
So his wife got him tickets to see her in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And he sent her a message saying, like, I'm a WWE wrestler. And I got thrown off a ladder by a nasty man. Can you please play my favourite song tonight?
Please retweet. Follow back. And Owens is... so everything leading up to Money in the Bank, he was trying to get everyone on his side to take out Braun Strowman. And in quite a consistent, a nice character beat... he is now trying to befriend Braun Strowman because he comes out, he's eaten that delicious humble pie and said, I want to congratulate you, but who is watching your back? I haven't got anyone watching my back. Sami Zayn's injured now. And then if we help each other out, when you do win the Universal title, I want the first shot. I've been Universal Champion. I can help you out with these logistical things. And it was... of course, Braun didn't buy into any of it. They go for the handshake. Braun keeps hold of the hand, of these hands, and then he tries to power slam him, but Owens escapes. I like Owens' consistent selling of how scared he is of Strowman.
Yeah. I mean, it's more consistent than how scared he is of ladders.
Sure.
But I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, that was good. And that sort of tied into stuff later on. And then we got our first Bayley and Sasha Banks segment. These were the two narrative threads running throughout the last 2 hours of Raw. It's almost like two different episodes, isn't it?
Hmm.
You got the Ronda Seth Rollins super show for the first hour, and then here's the rest of the episode.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. This stuff wasn't as good. So Bayley walks up to Sasha backstage and said, like, hey, man, I was rooting for you last night at Money in the Bank. But, like, what are you... you can't just focus on the fact that you've lost. Like, I know you're going to be sitting there watching the WWE Network, which is $9.99 a month. And Sasha's like, I'm already watching it. He's like, no, we got to focus on the now. I could do with some help. I need you in my corner because I have some issues with the Riot Squad. And they announced the tag team match later on. Bayley and Banks taking on the Riot Squad.
Yeah. And they kind of hug at the end, don't they? They start getting friendly. Sasha Banks like, okay, let's just all be buddies again. And I knew it was never going to last. I knew the Riot Squad match was going to end in them falling out again. I just don't care at all.
I can't imagine why.
So this is the worst feud out of the two, of that and Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley, because at least Zayn and Lashley was just... 4 weeks.
I mean, I'd actually agree with you. But, man, it's bold.
It's terrible storytelling. It's terrible. Next up, we got the Deleter of Worlds taking on Heath Slater and Rhino, because this number one contenders thing is going to... I thought we might get that match here, but no, it's going to be dragged out a bit longer, which is good because this wasn't bad for building a match. The B team appeared on the Titantron before the match started doing a parody promo.
Yes, of Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. So Curtis Axel was dressed up as Matt Hardy, doing a pretty decent Matt Hardy impersonation. And then Bo walks in with a big fake beard and a little hat on, obviously the brother of Bray Wyatt, in you know, a shoot brother in real life. And then he does a pretty good impression too of his own brother, which I'd imagine is quite easy to do, really.
Yeah, I thought, and it looked like Bray was laughing.
Yes, it was.
And they were having fun.
And they were very good at just, like, saying all the nonsense stuff that the Deleter of Worlds would usually say. When I just write in my notes, they talk nonsense. Mm. But they talk nonsense, and it was actually quite funny, because it was just nonsense.
This was a good comedic performance, and you didn't just have the impersonation. You had a bit where Dallas was like, I'm sick of this, and he takes off the beard, and he said, let's stop doing the characters. But Curtis Axel was still doing the wonderful character, and that was funny. And then they were like, we're here. They do the lamp extinguish spot, but the lights turn off, but they're obviously still there. And they're like, what should we do?
Yeah.
And they just kind of crouch down to get out of shot.
It was Bo's little look of the eyes to see if Axel was doing anything. And then, yeah, they just sort of duck out of shot.
I really, really enjoyed this. And I think I've said this before, but Axel and Dallas have an Edge and Christian vibe about them.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't think you have said it on... You haven't said it on this show. Mm. But yeah, I can see that.
And I think, obviously, it's like comparing Ronda Rousey to Stone Cold. They're not in the same... like, at the same level, but there is semblances of character there. And I would be really intrigued to see Dallas and Axel given a bit more creative license, see what they could do comedic-wise. They've got great chemistry together, and they're good comic timing as well. So it's like, if they are given a bit more free rein rather than scripted to the second barbecue segments, that you could have like a bit of New Day awesomeness on their hands.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, the Deleter of Worlds then had a very short match against Rhino and Heath Slater where they hit their finish and won.
Yep. Next up, we got Kurt and Baron, Constable Corbin, backstage, both on phones.
Well, as you said to me when I came today, it's the most GM thing you've ever seen.
So Kurt Angle's looking at his phone, and then Baron Corbin walks behind him and says, also on his phone, you know, Stephanie's want, like, something, whatever, and it transpires that Stephanie's on the phone. Kurt takes the phone call and he's like, yes, I've got a big announcement to make later because of this. Jinder Mahal takes on Chad Gable next. This is interesting.
A character change for Jinder.
A character reversion. Do you remember in 2016, the summer after the brand split, and Jinder Mahal returned to Raw? And he returned to Raw with this character where he was preaching peace and spirituality and how we can all get together and everything's love. He's all based on love. Kind of like an Indian guru was the kind of character he was portraying. But as soon as the bell rang, it's exposed that he's a hypocrite and he's actually quite mean and he'll try and cheat. But as soon as the action finishes, back into guru status. This is that character.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it lasted.
Well, I mean, I totally believe you that it happened. I have no memory of it whatsoever.
It lasted. It wasn't on TV a lot, and it was infrequent when he was on. But for about 6 months, until he paired up with Rusev in January the next year.
Interesting.
And so, then, yeah, of course, 3 months after that, he gets the huge push on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So it's when he talks about the winds of change, again...
It wasn't a reference to Chicago, as some people thought it might have been.
He's just...
to the windy city.
Gone back to this spiritual gimmick.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet today that made me laugh. I think, oh, cool, he's Matt Sydal now.
Mm.
Which I thought was funny.
And he beat Gable in minutes with a coloss.
Yeah, he said that although he did lose to Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank, he won the battle of self-improvement. I really, what the F are you talking about? Mm. But yeah, he's now a tranquil being, and he beat him. Cole says that he and Roman had a really physical match. You are lying there, Cole. Gable got some nice throws in and got moonsault for a near fall, and then Jinder hit the Colossus and won. So what happened to that Chad Gable versus McIndolf storyline?
I think it was just 2 weeks of filler.
Oh, fair enough.
Face this guy, lose to them both. Hey,
what a storyline.
Well, I guess
it's like a big cast storyline.
Yeah, it gives McIndolf such convincing wins to then get eliminated first in that battle royal.
Yeah.
Then we got a really sweet Special Olympics segment, and then it was Riot Squad beating Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Well, backstage they were doing more rioty things like closing laptops. And
they threw the laptop on the floor.
I know, but it was just when they closed the laptop, I was like, oh no. And then they smashed the laptop. I was like,
I didn't save.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I was in the middle of something there. And then they drew on a mirror.
What's that? Isn't there like a little shortcut that you just press and then it wipes everything on the computer?
I've no
idea. It's a combination of keys. I swear we used to do it to people at school. But they should have just done that.
No, they should have done, if they were going to do really risey things, is the trick that you told me about that you used to play, the little prank you used to play on your friends or your friends' group used to play, which is where you find a girl that they know, and then you go
on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Just not around.
Not random girl. You find a girl that they know on Facebook, go into their profile, find a girl that they know that doesn't know the other person, go into their photos, find a photo of them looking rather pretty, and just give it a little like.
Yeah, it's usually COS 08 is the album you want. A little girl's holiday to a sunny country.
Just find one photo, click like. Because, as you said, the person you've done the prank to never knows that it's happened.
Yeah.
And actually, the friend doesn't know that it's happened either. But the friend of that friend will go like, huh, that's weird.
The friend of the friend might one day say to the friend, what, do you know, enter name here?
Yeah.
He liked this photo of me in a bikini about 3 weeks ago. It's very
that's
fun.
Really
I mean,
funny.
I think they should do, because that's not very visually exciting. But well, for I the mean, Riot Squad to just storm down the aisle.
Oh, God, let's just scroll. No, yeah, not that. Don't do that photo. Good. No, not that one.
The other thing that, and it's to this day why I don't really lean on a wall, is because you would lean on a wall with, like, you know, your legs crossed and slightly out from the wall. If you do that, someone will run up, kick your legs out, and you'll fall down to the floor. That would be a nice Riot thing to do.
I do find that when I go to a public urinal, I find myself really planting my feet,
checking the other ones out.
Yeah, apart from that, I'm like,
just to get not as a perv thing, just to see what the measuring stick is.
No, I find myself really planting my feet into the ground, because when we were teenagers and you go to pubs, you go into the toilets and just give them a little push in the back while they're taking a piss.
Yes. Another classic. So this is how interesting the Banks Bayley feud is.
Yeah.
That we're talking about this. But right, the Riot Squad, they also drew on a mirror.
They did, yes.
Is it a Sharpie? Because if it's not a Sharpie, I'm not interested.
No, I think it was black lipstick, I think, because they're goths and that.
Yeah.
The story of this match, though, was odd in a sense, because Bayley wouldn't tag Sasha in. Because they put her on commentary, well, Sasha's hurt from the Money in the Bank thing. And that made me go like, well, Bayley's an idiot then for asking Banks to tag with her if she doesn't even want her to be in the match.
Yeah.
It's a classic Bayley move. So, like, Sasha then blind tagged herself in, did some stuff, and then Bayley blind tagged herself in. And I'm like, why are we even... What? Anyway, whatever. And then they got on the page, the right page at one time, and then there was a cheap shot by Logan, roll up by Morgan with the tights, the Riot Squad win, and then Bayley tries to help up Banks, being like, shucks, I guess we lost again. And Banks pushed her away.
This had a long stare down.
Yes, and this had zero heat.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Banks just walked off.
And
it's a feud again.
Michael Cole said, the friendship is fractured again.
Who cares? Kurt Angle comes out.
Well, we haven't finished it yet. Because backstage, Bayley chased Sasha.
Yes.
And Banks says, essentially as I quote, I'm finished with you. Oh no, Bayley said, I'm not finished with you. And Banks was like, well, I'm finished with you. They had a brawl, similar to the brawl to the one we saw months ago.
Mm.
Then we got Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Bayley said that a few times, because later on she goes after the car.
The exact same lines.
I'm not finished with you.
And then, but I'm finished with you.
That's Braun's line. I'm not finished with you.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound as threatening.
I thought Bayley was going to flip the car. Yeah, so then we got Kurt Angle come out, and he said he's going to reveal who Brock Lesnar's next opponent's going to be. It's going to... Dun-dun! How many times have you seen this template play out before? Kurt says, here's the... Like, this is what's going to happen with the Universal Championship. Roman Reigns' music hits. I should be the challenger. Oh, my God. I am sick to death of Roman, and I'm sick to death of you saying, oh, but he is over. He's over as this... Roman Reigns isn't over as a babyface, but he is over because he gets a reaction. No, no.
Mate, I never said I... Like, that's WWE's... Like, that's their mindset, man.
I'm not having this contradictory... contrarian argument anymore. It's that we're booing booking. The bad booking is over, not Roman.
Yes. Anyway, Roman says that this show is getting out of control. But you know how it would be under control is if we had a champion that was here each and every week. I was like, what's that got to do with anything? It made no sense. I thought Roman in the first half of this was quite poor, but he did have a very good line at the end.
Which was?
Well, we'll come on to it.
Well, so Bobby Lashley comes out. Bobby Lashley comes out. Roman Reigns can't beat Roman Reigns.
For some his lines. And then I've written here, the Revival come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Angle goes that it's going to be a five-way at Extreme Rules.
I missed that line. I must have been taking notes or something. I just missed that line of dialogue. Because then they kept talking about it in commentary. I was like, when was that announced?
Well, the Revival come out and say, hey, you haven't earned, you're just given these opportunities. I'm like, well, you're going to earn the opportunity in the five-person match. But it was just a way to set up a tag match. It was very contrived, I found. But it was a pretty decent match.
Well, the good line came from, so Dash and Wilder are at, yeah? No, Dash and Dawson. Which one's Dash, which one's Dawson? Dash and Dawson are kind of in this promo, and Roman just starts talking over it, sort of mimicking them, and being like, we're tough guys. And then a bit I really liked was like, if you guys want a tag match, I'll happily school you. Maybe Bob will learn something. Pointing to Lashley. And I was like, I kept it nice and short, because Bobby then shot in this look of just like, oh, you mother effer. And I thought that was really nice.
But they had a good match, and they played up on that dynamic when Reigns had the match won. He's setting up the spear. He's ready to go hoo-ah. But Bobby Lashley blind tags himself in. Bobby Lashley hits the spear and picks up the win.
Yeah.
Was the spear part of Lashley's arsenal back in the day?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember. So yeah. that's cool.
That's a much better finisher than a vertical suplex.
Hey, it's a delayed vertical suplex.
Sorry, I do apologise.
All the blood goes to the top of the head. Then we got backstage. Kurt and Constable Corbin are walking along.
Oh, I think I missed one of my favourites. Yes, I missed one of my favourite angle moments, which was when they had Sasha and Bayley fighting backstage. And it cut to Kurt, and he's just looking at the title and goes, can't get the show under control.
Almost to himself.
It was one of two that really made me laugh.
But the show did feel chaotic, and much more than recent months.
It felt chaotic.
Not to like the Attitude Era degree, but it felt like an effort was made where it was that everything there was an unpredictability around it, especially with Ronda breaking the usual format of I stand here while you trash talk me, and the Seth Rollins title change, and then everyone kind of. Doing
I don't know if I'd agree that it felt chaotic.
Chaotic's a strong word, yeah. I must say. But there's a less... whatever the less word of chaotic.
A riot.
Slightly chaotic? Chaotic It was a little bit chaotic, and I appreciate
that. Just a smidge of chaos in there.
But not the... That Okada's actually in.
Yeah, or
Japan.
Or what Sanity is talking about.
So... They're walking along, and Finn Balor is there, smiling, just hanging out in a corridor, smiling, waiting for people to walk past him. And he goes, hey, Kurt, that Extreme Rules five-way sounds real fun. Can I be a part of it, Kurt?
Gee willikers, Mr. Angle, can I be a part of it?
And Corbin goes, no. Yeah. Which I thought, Corbin's been so good recently. I've been a fan of him for a while, but he's really finding his character groove in this new role. And this could have been the death of... Like, I never liked Authority Kane, Corporate Kane.
He wrestled in slacks.
Yeah, I know. But this is really working for him. And then Kevin Owens turns up. like out of nowhere, and goes, "Yeah, you shouldn't get the shot, Finn Balor."
Yeah.
And then Strowman's behind Owens. It's almost like a sitcom.
It was
quite
a sitcom,
making fun of the conventions of sitcoms.
He was like, "You don't even know when trouble is behind you," and then a reveal of Braun behind him, and he was like, and then Owens saw it really well, where he was like, "Ah!" and sort of like ran across the other side to kind of hide behind Corbin, and it turns out that Finn and Braun are friends. Apparently, he's just like, "No one says that to my friend."
Well, I think that's been set up, and over the last 3 weeks, there were four weeks, there was a series that they definitely tagged together, and then they had two matches over 2 weeks against each other where they kind of earned each other's respects.
Earning respect is a bit different to friendship, though.
I thought the seeds were there. And this is Braun deciding, "You're my friend now."
I was going to say, maybe it was the F word, that because it's that women's thing of just like, "No, they're my friend." But then Angle he stole the show anyway, because he just went, "Show's is a runaway train," and walked off.
A one-away twain. You ever seen that?
Was that?
A one-away twain.
A one-away twain?
A one-away twain. It's from When Snakes on a Plane came out. There was a sort of straight DVD knockoff of an already straight DVD knockoff story.
Snakes on a Train got a cinema release.
Snakes on a Train?
Snakes on a Plane, rather.
This was Snakes on a Train.
Right.
And this guy has one line, which is... "There's a runaway. We've got a runaway train," but he's got a problem with.
He's got a lisp.
Whatever it is, where you can't do R's correctly. Just there's a runaway twain, and it's just take after take, and he gets so angry, and it goes into heartbreaking territory, but then it gets funny again.
Do you know who would have found that hilarious? Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Because if there's one thing that Vince McMahon loves, it's a speech impediment.
Mm.
He thinks they're the funniest thing, apparently.
Yeah, I guess it would have been better if Strowman came up to Balor and said, I'm sick of all you guys bullying people.
Mm.
I'll be your tag partner, Finn.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than, "We're friends.
We're all friends.
Mojo Rawley beat No Way Jose.
Before that, we got Michael Cole announcing the WWE 2K19 cover star and called it, quote, "one of the most anticipated video games in history." Oh, do F off. Mm. That is just trite. Absolute trite nonsense to say. "One of the most anticipated video games in history." In history! Oh, I don't know why, it's because it's his dumb face as well. I was like, "Oh, get lost, Michael Cole, shut up." Really irritated me.
It's weird how little things just...
I know.
Because there's a lot of... It's almost like there's too much to be annoyed about. So our minds can only comprehend getting annoyed about these one really tiny specific things.
Just say, it's a game that everyone's really looking forward to. The most anticipated video game in history.
And it undermines when you've actually got something genuinely historic to promote.
Yes, exactly.
Because you call everything the most important thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be the same game we got last year and the year previous, although I only played the one last year for the first time.
Talking of historic matches, Mojo Rawley beat No Way Jose next.
The way you perfectly described it, have you ever seen a match that defined the third hour of Raw more?
No.
No.
And Cole got to say he was trying to sum up the two... The differences between these two characters. Mojo is all about business in the ring, whereas No Way Jose just wants to have fun.
It's the little things, isn't it? The little things.
And Rawley cut a quick in-ring promo afterwards.
Yes,
I cannot remember what he says.
He said that he used to stay hyped, but now he stays focused. Whatever that means.
Focused bros. I want that tag team.
Don't know what it really meant, but he walked away.
Hmm.
And then we got a grumpy Sasha walking to her car. Bailey walked up and said the exact same lines they'd said in the previous segment. And then Sasha said she's done helping her and being her friend. She drives off, and Bailey threw a water bottle at her, possibly doing some damage to the car. It's a rental.
Yeah.
Have to pay an extra on that.
Conor McGregor style, chucking a water bottle. Yeah. Not a freaking whenever he threw at that bus.
Like a guardrail.
Yeah. Then we got... I really like this. An Elias gig that was not interrupted. He had no jibber-jabber back and forth with the crowd. He just did one song, which was genuinely very good. Like, I really, really liked it. It told a story. It pushed where his character might go next. It was really good.
I was waiting for Finn Balor's music to hit to interrupt it, because that's what we come to expect with Elias concerts, is that he starts to sing, music hits, then he's like, oh, okay, and then just disappears. He Renee Youngs off into the ether. But yeah, he did an entire thing, put over that, like, you know, Seth had to cheat at Money in the Bank. Hey, I think I should be in the Extreme Rules match. What would Elias do? Which I think might be his new gimmick.
Yeah, like a sort of ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this position? He's comparing himself to that quite loftily. So, great stuff. And just the last delivery of the line, because it kind of, the song ends on a refrain of him saying, what would Elias do, what would Elias do, what would Elias do? The last delivery of what would Elias do was just like, it was sincere. I got feels.
It was funny as well, because like that was his chorus. And he did the chorus, like the final chorus, four times. And the more he did it, the more the crowd booed, being like, mate, we've heard this bit before. And I get to the end, I was hoping he was going to just do it again. It's like the song finishes and then just start doing do the chorus a couple more times.
But I really like that. I hope we get more straight up Elias performance segments, because then when he does get interrupted, it's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe Jason Jordan can come out and throw vegetables at him.
I forgot that happened.
I've only just remembered it myself.
Seth Rollins had a backstage interview. He's a sad Seth Rollins.
He's a sad Seth Rollins.
Poor Seth Rollins.
But he said there's no excuses. You know, I lost tonight, but I'm invoking my rematch clause for next Monday.
I hope he doesn't win it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be quite undermining for Dolph. And I think now Seth can go into the main event properly.
Or into a tag team feud with him and Jason Jordan.
And then we got the main event of Baron Corbin and Kevin Owens beating Braun Strowman and Finn Balor. Baron Corbin wrestled in his Constable Corbin gear, which is like a suit trousers and a shirt and a waistcoat.
He did look like a snooker player.
Meltzer did not like this.
Oh, really?
No, he's like, I can't take it seriously. He kept on saying, I thought it looked really good, especially when he took off. When Braun gets in there, so Braun gets in the ring, and it's this stare-off, and I was like, I never appreciated how tall Corbin is.
That's why, because you're not in the WWE office. You'd have thought that'd be the first thing you'd have thought of when he walked in. Good Lord, look how tall he is!
But don't you think, like, Baron Corbin made Braun Strowman's proportions look weird? Because if you look at Braun Strowman, he should be even bigger than he is, just because he's just enormous in his body. But Baron Corbin's just like a normal-ish person who's just very tall. So seeing them both the same height just seemed like Braun Strowman had been compacted a bit.
Cool, but, I guess. But I quite liked Corbin's look. And as you said, there was a moment when Braun got in and he's like almost like tore off the waistcoat and sort of undid the shirt a little bit. I was like, I like this. I thought it worked. It's quite nice.
Business Corbin. I mean, I swear, I can't say this for certain, but I swear Meltzer said he liked Jack Gallagher's suit wrestling gimmick back when he had it. So there might be some hypocrisy there. But I can't remember
from
he said that for
Dave Meltzer?
He's usually pretty consistent, I would say.
He is.
In his opinions.
Tell that to YouTube.
Tell that to New Japan.
Tell that to Twitter. Tell that to Bruce Pritchard.
FFDM.
You learned that yesterday, didn't you? We were at the UK show and someone was wearing an FDM t-shirt and I pointed out to you and you'd never heard of it before.
No. It stands for F. Dave Meltzer, which is...
And you could not... I don't think you believed me for a little while that that's what it meant.
Because it's done in that NWO design. What a ridiculous thing. I thought this match was pretty good overall. I thought it was really fun. Braun charged after Kevin Owens. Oh, there was a... Yeah, when Braun was charging after Owens on the outside, Corbin does a dive off the apron. Looked
good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, ending this match, I came away thinking, I want to see Corbin versus Strowman. I never thought I'd say that in a million years. I thought Corbin looked really good, and he picked up the win when Strowman had tackled Owens through the barricade into the timekeeper's area, and Corbin hit the end of days on Balor for the win.
Yeah.
So the two big guys are protected.
Yes, and Corbin gets a win. So it's actually nice that we're still keeping Corbin as a wrestler and not just as a backstage authority figure.
Because then he can kind of use his position to help his wrestling
career. Insert himself into this... is it a five-way at the
Elimination
Chamber Extreme Rules?
Which is... I mean, it was a five-way last year at Extreme Rules.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was the one that Joe won. Was that last year?
It was.
It was, because it
was a month before though, because
Great Balls of Fire, that's right.
Yeah, Great Balls. Yeah, because it was dual branded.
Yes.
It wasn't dual branded back then.
Yeah.
So overall, a very newsworthy episode, mostly at the start. The first hour was absolutely terrific. I thought almost faultless programming from Raw. And I thought, watching that, I thought we might be on the course for an in-awe episode, a 5 out of 5. They just need a couple more good matches and I would say one really good angle. So like a good Sasha Banks heel turn. But unfortunately, the last 2 hours were only okay.
Yes.
So overall, I still gave it a 4 out of 5, though. Really enjoyed this show. Really, really did. And it just feels like a reset of everything after that WrestleMania hangover in between that and Money in the Bank. And now we can start building new feuds. There weren't really any hangover feuds from before.
No, Jinder is not continuing with Roman.
Elias isn't with Seth.
Yep.
Zayn's away from Lashley.
It's just Owens and Strowman, I guess, would be the only one that's kind of carried over.
But that was never... Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, this is good stuff. Hopefully WWE can continue on, and unfortunately that probably means SmackDown's going to be awful tonight. Because only one show can be good at a time. What would you give it?
I thought the first hour was terrific, but the other 2 hours did nothing for me. The Bayley and Sasha Banks stuff really didn't do anything for me. I thought I enjoyed the main event, but I was a bit tired of the show by that point. I'm really like when Lashley came out to confront Roman Reigns, I was like, oh, dear me, this is where we're heading, are we? I think because I'm over the whole Roman Reigns thing, because I just think his character has completely fallen off the wagon since WrestleMania. So I'm just not invested in Raw's main event scene, which I think is my issue I have with the show at the moment. But, you know, the McIndolf thing is quite intriguing, and the Ronda Rousey stuff is awesome. So I'd have given it a high average, I think. I'd have still gone, an average, but, like, because the first hour was so good, I would certainly give it, put up a little notch. So I'm going to have to apologise, listeners. I know we've got a lot of correspondence, and I do want to read some of them, particularly because we have been sent 5 poems.
Oh, lovely.
5 poems. Do you want one of them now?
Let's just do one.
Let's do one of them.
And then we'll have to get out of here.
So I've got one here from Emma Healy. Dear Luke and Ollie, I've listened to your podcast for a while now and felt it was time I broke my silence. While I'm still working on my crap gimmick to send you, I thought you may appreciate my crap poem to tide you over in the meantime. Backstory, every year for Valentine's Day, I write a silly cheesy poem for my other half because it's cheaper than buying him a card, and I always base it on current wrestling events or pop culture references. He's had to put up with these for 10 years. Please feel sorry for him. Actually, then that's quite nice.
That's what you need to find, Dan.
While cleaning out a memory stick, I discovered I still had the poem I sent him for this year's Valentine's. It's super cheesy and cringeworthy, but I hope you enjoy it nonetheless. Side note, Ollie, your poem was amazing. I'm not a big fan of poetry myself, as you will see from my attempt, but you have inspired me to go and find my own writing group so I can learn more about it and hopefully write something fairly decent.
Well, that's part of hashtag WrestleTalkGetBetter. It's not just about Luke's fitness. It's also about just everyone pursuing what they want to do.
Hey, man, we actually talked on Sunday.
We did,
on Sunday about another aspect of WrestleTalk Look Better.
We're watching a lot of Queer Eye, which is just a phenomenal Netflix show.
Such a good show. And it has made me get what is considered a terrible haircut. Like it was a mistake.
You're thinking way too much about this.
It's getting better, I think.
There was not one single comment on Sundays.
There was one.
There was one, but I think that is no more than the usual.
As I said, I think we were just got lucky because there was the Prince Puma tight thing.
Yes.
And I think because of that, everyone was just distracted. So, you know, we got away with it in the end. Thank you both for your amazing consistency. Keep up the good work. Yes. From a dedicated pod swafter and fellow WrestleTalk.com writer, Emma Kiss Kiss.
Oh, is that Emma?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And she's got a little winky face emoji in there as well. Oh, it's cool. It's titled, Oh No, Not Another Poem. Oh no, not another poem, I hear you call. But don't you worry, it's only scheduled for one fall. This time I'm doing a Teddy Long and putting you in a tag team, player. My first pick was Kane, but he's busy running for mayor. Maybe I could pay you with the Viper or Big Match John, but they're both getting on a bit and may soon be gone. You could burn it down with Seth Rollins, but he seems like a bad idea too, as I'm sure Jason Jordan and Dean Ambrose would more than happily tell you. Sadly, the Fashion Police are no help, too busy wrapped in a new case, and Nakamura seems like a liability and might knee you in the face. You could visit the house of AJ Styles or run with the big dog in his yard. Even wait till September, when a Daniel Bryan return might be on the card. How about a try with the Bullet Club? The chance is too sweet to be missed. One problem is the Young Bucks might hit you up with a cease and desist. Jericho's off with Fozzy and Brock Lesnar doesn't want to play. There's always the Cruiserweight division. Just don't mention Amore. I guess there's no one left but little old me. We'll go on to Mania and make the competition flee. But what could be better than spending it with your one true bae? Forget the romance, chocolates and flowers. I wish you the very best, Rusev Day.
Wonderful.
That is wonderful. I've got a cup of tea in my hand, but I will pop that down just so I can give you a clap. Because I thought that was lovely stuff. I'm sorry I didn't read it particularly well, but I thought that was lovely stuff.
I didn't see Rusev Day coming at the end. I thought that was a nice swerve from... I thought, okay, here we go, Valentine's Day. Nope, Rusev Day, much better.
Also, nice little time capsule there, because that would have been before Daniel Bryan was cleared to wrestle.
Yeah.
And we were all expecting it to happen in September when he left.
Well, it's Valentine's Day, so that was ridden, I'm guessing, early February.
February 13th.
And, Emma's prepared. At least February 9th. And... Enzo would have just been released about 2 weeks before.
That's right.
Yeah.
Crikey. That's nice. That feels like so long ago.
So that wasn't strictly the brief. We asked mysterious poems.
Did we?
And we had to guess who it was about. But I also like the idea of poems about very specific points in wrestling history, and we'll try and figure out what the time is. That is obviously February 10th, 2018.
That was lovely. I really, really enjoyed that, Emma. So more poetry. It's becoming like poetry ramble at the moment. More poetry ramble on tomorrow's show. Maybe we'll do a couple on tomorrow's show, because we won't have a 20-minute intro where we're answering a real Dan's Dan question.
It was also a lot of UK chat.
Yes, true.
UK.
UK. Tell you, I thought you were going to carry on.
No,
you did
no.
that to me yesterday as well. You started a chant. I then tried to join in, only to find that you had stopped.
Mm. Well, I very rarely do more than two.
Mm.
Two rounds of the same chant.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Three is my absolute maximum. But I do like the occasional single chant that no one else can join in with. I yelled, "I hate you, Zach Gibson."
I
very
was
loudly.
Just about to say, I got a tweet from Matthew Philpott, who replied to me, "Was a great night. Was that Ollie Davis shouting, 'We hate you, Zach Gibson,' in the quarters?"
Yes, it was.
I
hate you, Zach Gibson.
I mean, I like Zach Gibson because he is a Scouser. I mean, he's a copite, so I can't like him too much. But he is a Scouser, and I don't think we should hate him just because he's a Scouser.
Well, he's a great wrestler. I'm a big fan of his work, but the story dictated that we boo him, and kayfabe we must sometimes.
Yep, stand up if you hate Gibson.
That was brilliant. I can't wait to see how that translates to the network.
Yes. Oh, well, even better is when you then sit down and you're just saying, "Sit down, Gibson."
One last thing on the UK stuff. We Morrow was on the other side of the Royal Albert Hall.
I forgot about this.
And if it got even slightly quiet, but still, you know, still people muttering and stuff and chanting, you could hear Morrow getting excited.
Just want to stress, Ollie is not joking when we were on the other side of the Royal Albert Hall compared to Morrow. Couldn't hear Nigel. No. Couldn't hear Nigel doing commentary, but I could hear Morrow Ronaldo doing commentary.
Yeah, and it's great. What an enthusiastic man. He's the sort of person that should be on saying big dog. I reckon he could make me like the phrase big dog, a monster in the bank.
Well, he made us all like Mamma Mia, I guess.
Mamma Mia! He got a Mamma Mia chant going, "We've gone way too long, have to go and record our One Night Stand review. One of my favourite pay-per-views of all time. That's this month's Wrestle Ramble Extra podcast, which you'll be able to listen to by going to Patreon and donating $5 a month. Pledge it, pledge hammers.
Exactly. $5 a month or more will get you access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra and its back catalogue of other Wrestle Ramble extra episodes where we have reviewed pay-per-views from wrestling's past. It is ECW One Night Stand 2005 this month. We're about to go and record that now. But we'll see you tomorrow in the free feed for everyone else for the SmackDown review. I don't think anything's been announced for it. There's a gauntlet match to determine the new number one contender. I saw with Brian, Joe,
quite a few
Miz,
people in there, yeah.
I think Rusev and someone else.
Well, that sounds great. I hope it gets a lot of time, Raw style, when Rollins had that star-making performance.
I want it to be the majority of the show, and I want to see like Daniel Bryan get all the way to the end and not win.
And if you want to keep up with that and Wrestle Talk's opinions on it, our man, the man, Andy Datson, Mandy Datson, is going to be live tweeting from Wrestle Talk's Twitter account and going to be following it up with stuff on the website. So do go and check those out.
Absolutely. But until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.